This audio is machine generated. Please excuse any mispronunciations. Three Practices That Keep Us Immature by Tina Wilson. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. 1 Corinthians 3:2. Though Paul faced opposition and insult as he preached in Corinth, recorded in Acts 18, his labor there was still fruitful. And many of the Corinthians who heard the message believed and were baptized. Acts 18:8, New Vive. For a year and a half, Paul stayed in Corinth and discipled the church. In the letter we call 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote to these Christians seeking to help them move to spiritual maturity, and his teaching can help us become mature in Christ also. First, let's make note of what Paul says is not an indicator of spiritual maturity. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? 1 Corinthians 1:20, New IV. Spiritual maturity cannot be measured by the world's standards. Many of Paul's countrymen refused to walk by faith in Christ, but instead wanted a performer to do signs for them. Chasing signs and requiring physical proof of spiritual truth is immature. Many Greeks pursued man-made philosophies and worldly wisdom, ways to wealth and status. Equating worldly status with kingdom status is immature. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. 1 Corinthians 1:25, New One. Paul set an example of spiritual maturity for them not by coming with impressive signs or with eloquent speech, but simply preaching Christ. Jesus is the way to salvation. The gospel is not complicated. Paul's spiritual depth wasn't marked by impressive abilities or by appealing speech, but by his understanding and presentation of the fullness of Scripture. Among the mature, however, we speak a message of wisdom, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of the mysterious and hidden wisdom of God, which he destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2, 6-8, New V. Paul called out several errors that prevented the Corinthians from growing and maturing, and they're errors that will hinder us also. Here are three prominent ones. 1. Creating divisions in the church. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? 1 Corinthians 3:2 and 3, New IV. We cannot attain maturity until we put away pride and self-centeredness and recognize that the mission of Christ is more important than any of our personal desires and opinions. It is our selfishness that James said fuels such relational strife. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. James 4, 1 and 2, NIV. 2. Elevating the messenger above the message. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. 1 Corinthians 3, 21-23, New IV. It's not uncommon for Christians to fall into pastor worship, especially when a leader is gifted and charismatic. Those whom God has equipped as overseers in his church are a blessing to the body, but are not elevated above the body. When a church starts worshiping the pastor instead of the king, and especially when a pastor starts believing the hype about himself, serious trouble is in store for that congregation. Moral failures, power grabs, and financial misappropriation often result when leaders' egos become overblown. Rather than looking for a person to sit on Christ's throne, we ought to realize that we have all been given spiritual giftings to be used for God's kingdom, and we should all be working together to build it. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. 1 Corinthians 3:9, New V. 3. Putting our confidence in worldly wisdom.
Let no one deceive himself. If any of you thinks he is wise in this age, he should become a fool, so that he may become wise. 1 Corinthians 3:18, New Night.
Qualifiers for mature disciples are not craftiness and charm, but humility and service. Though Paul was sometimes hungry and thirsty, poorly clothed, brutally treated, and homeless, he had complete confidence in a spiritual king to provide, vindicate, and save. The more we commit ourselves to the Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God, the more we can move into the alignment of unity, service, and spiritual knowledge that leads to maturity. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:13 and 14, NIV.
The revelation of God's great mystery is this. From the moment humanity broke fellowship with God in the garden, God has acted to restore us. Understanding that truth causes us to fall in love with God and to work against anything that could hinder that relationship.
For more from Tina Wilson's 365-day chronological Bible study, see Step into Scripture, A Daily Journey to Understanding Your Bible, available on Amazon.